when you hear do not be afraid, we've talked about this a ton. I wanted to go back to the first message that we talked about in this series. And here's why we tend to be afraid. We tend to be afraid of what we can't control or fix. Which is a lot, by the way. But that which we can control and fix, you're in my seat, we tend to really cling to. And so the final thing that I would love for you to get from today isn't that humility can be scary, although that's what the title of today's message is. But the final thing I want you to get is that humility can be really, really powerful. But humility can be scary, and I can say this, it's scary because it's not about us. It's not about us being able to control it. And when I'm feeling out of control, right, that can really cause me to be fearful. When I don't have the ability to take hold of something or to fix something or to make something the way I think it should be or even the way it should be for you, then you know what happens? I get freaked out. And I may not be alone on that. I don't just get freaked out. I tend to get angry. Does anybody get angry when they're afraid? Okay, so 12 of us do. All right. I tend to get angry when I'm prideful, when things don't go well for me and I look stupid. But fearful is it. And I want to tell you today, we're going to have to come to grips with the fact that there's some things that we're not in control of. And I think as John was talking and as Pastor Josh was praying, there's just a ton that is out of our control. There's a ton of things we just don't know and don't understand and can't fix. So I want to say that humility is a bummer because we feel like we're out of control. That means someone else is. I would say when you actually pour yourself out for the Lord and you say, God, it's all about you, you're actually recognizing that the somebody else that's in control is Jesus, and he can be trusted. He can be worshiped. Why did he come in the first place? Was it so he could make people kiss the ring? I mean, what did Jesus come for? Why do we celebrate Christmas?
Because there's gifts.
Okay, good. But the greatest gift ever, right? So why is Christmas such a big deal? What do you guys think? Yeah?
United with the Father again.
Reunited and it feels so good. Angela's like, why? What was that? I don't even understand it. You're right. You can look that one up if you need to. Priscilla points at Kathy, my wife, and says, she's so lucky. And Kathy's like, oh, yeah. I'm so lucky. She's stuck with me. I wouldn't even know what that looks like for me to keep my mouth shut. So, all right, anyways, you guys, Christmas, being reunited, being together with Christ, together with the Lord because of Christ, I should say. And that's great. Absolutely. Anything else? I mean, take Christmas out of it. Why is it a big deal that God came to earth?
It's the beginning of a promise kept.
It's the beginning of a promise kept. They've been waiting for thousands of years for this to happen. And it did, and they missed it. It's easy to miss, because we wouldn't do it like that. Let me get right to this. The reason why Christmas, or the Christophany, God come to earth, is such a big deal, is because he's the biggest deal. And he humbled himself. Dear friends, this is beyond normal. We know the story, we celebrate the story. I'm 51, I've been celebrating it 51 times already. In my life, every year we celebrate this, and I still lose sight, forget, choose not to be humble. Humility is not saying, Jane, plug your ears for a second. Humility is not saying, I suck. Humility is saying, it's just not about me. Humility isn't thinking less of yourself. It's thinking less about yourself. Now, the one who can make it all about himself is Jesus. And he actually didn't. And yet when people worshiped him, he didn't say, oh, stop, please. You're making me blush. He took that worship, but he didn't come in all of his glory. Read the book of Revelation. That's his glory. And people freak out when they see him. Fall down dead. That's not how he came. And this is beyond normal. Let me tell you just how much God thinks about humility. Let's go to the book of James. If you guys haven't been there in a while, it's in the New Testament. It's near the end. It's right after the book of Hebrews. James was written by the half-brother of Jesus. Let me remind you, this is Christmas time. Jesus' dad was Yahweh. James' dad was most likely Joseph. They had different fathers. And James did not believe in his older brother Jesus as the Messiah until Jesus rose from the dead. And then he did, and he calls him the Lord and all this kind of stuff. But check this out in James 1:9. Now, I don't love the ESV translation for this purpose, but it's good and we understand it. And so I'll read it to you, and then I'll tell it to you in the NIV as well. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation. I mean, it's really flowery. The lowly brother means the humble brother. Let the humble brother, let the humble sister, let the humble person rejoice in his high position is what it says. The exaltation that you'd be high. God is saying through his word, I think humility is a big deal. How did Jesus show us that humility is a big deal? Let me make sure you're with me. I think we're tired today. He died for us. What did he do first?
He set aside all of his God privileges, humbled himself to
obey. Amen. Exactly. He set aside his authority. His glory was still within him, but he didn't come in all of his glory. You guys, he humbled himself. And so for this guy, James, who had to humble himself and say, oh yeah, my brother was right. Oh yeah, my brother wasn't just my brother. My brother is the Lord. I'm the oldest of four boys. I'd love it if my brothers called me that. But I'm not that, and so they don't. But Jesus is, and so they did. Let's go to a little bit more on this, and then we'll get to his story about his mama and everything. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. I know we've heard this and read this a bunch. I think there's just some stuff, like John said, that you read over and over again, but every now and then it just becomes fresh and new. I read this yet again this morning and something jumped off the page to me. I'm going to read Ephesians 2, 5 through 8. There's a whole lot more to it, but this is yet again an example of humility being a big deal to God. Have this mind or this attitude among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Hey, Christian, this is the mind. This is the attitude that we get to have because we're in Jesus. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, a thing to be held on to. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Look, humility is a big, fat deal to God. He loves it. And you and I ought to love it too. We don't necessarily consider it a high position because we're afraid of it. Let me ask you again. Why would you or I or anybody be afraid of humility? What do you think, Jeffrey? You're giving up power that you hold in your hands or think that you have. That's great. What else? Anybody else? Yeah, Renee. person can turn on you. You humble yourself, you submit to somebody else, they can turn on you. I want to harken back to the fact that humility can be peaceful if you're humbling yourself and giving yourself over to Jesus. Because he not only can be trusted, but if he turns on you, it's because you're in the wrong spot. So just turn to him. Let's talk about his mom for a second. Mary. In the Catholic Church and a little bit in Orthodox Church, she gets borderline divinity. Like that she's divine. She's super amazing. But she was just a human. Special human. A young human. A young woman from a place up north in Israel that was completely written off. Look, for years, I've heard this from people that are preaching about Nazareth and Galilee. They're like, it's kind of like Sultan or Gold Bar or Index, depending on where you live, the further east, right? It's like Bering, oh my goodness, right? I mean, I've just heard people talk about this for years. No, it isn't actually like us. It was so much less thought of than even we are. It was this area up north that was really infested with Gentiles. So much so that when Israel started falling away from God with Rehoboam and all of the nastiness and the break in Israel and Judah, so the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, that Galilee had the Assyrians come in and whoop them. Now, God actually brought that upon them because they brought it upon themselves, but he brought upon that discipline. And there was this mix, and some of the Assyrians started like cohabitating with Israelites, and it was just a mess. And you guys might remember from last week, Matthew 4, 15 through 16, like a light has shone in a really dark place. In Galilee of the Gentiles is what it's called. And you might also remember in John 1, 26, this guy Nathanael gets told by Philip, hey, come meet the Savior of the world. He's from Nazareth. And Nathanael's like, what? Can anything holy or good come from Nazareth? Like, boy, you gotta be kidding me. There's no way. This is where Mary was from. She's a woman in a time where women were at best treasured because they could have babies and make food. But they were just basically considered property. And she wasn't a woman that was even technically married yet. She was betrothed to be married. She was a virgin, no babies yet, in this out-of-the-way place that Israel had written off. And that's pretty stinking humble. Not a lot going for her, according to the world. And with that, we'll go to her story, which is very familiar, and I'm not going to elaborate a ton on it. Some of you are like, whatever, you always elaborate on stuff. Great. Well, we'll see what happens. We're going to go to Luke 1, 26 through 33. Last week we talked about Elizabeth, so I want to remind you that that story is still going on. Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant when this happens, and that starts out in this very first sentence. In the sixth month, which is Elizabeth's 6 month of pregnancy, if you don't know who Elizabeth is, she was a woman who was barren, beyond being able to have children, and the age beyond where that would even be possible. Oh, except that God showed up and said, no, you're going to have a baby. So in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. That was pretty sweet, right? Angel just pops up and says, hey, greetings, O favored one. The Lord's with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Can I just say, on a real basic level, if God calls you blessed and he's sending that message either via angel or the Bible or people around you, don't try to figure it out. Just say thanks. Just be grateful. Like, oh, God. But this seems like humility for us, right? We're like, what? What does this mean? I'm a big deal to you? I'm not a big deal to me. I think I'm lame. I think I'm terrible. I think I'm out of the way. Why would anybody say anything good like this about me? That's not humility. Friend, that's pride. You're telling God, I'm not that big a deal. And God says you are. Let me ask you how much Jesus loves you. Does anybody know how much Jesus loves them? Can you give me your way that you know that Jesus loves you? Anybody? Okay, good. This is so good, right? It's on a t-shirt somewhere. He loved me this much and died. It's not pithy or t-shirt only. It's real. Well, I don't feel that love. That's a different conversation. But the fact that he gave it to you says that the price tag on you, friend, is very significant. What God thinks about you is that you're worth it. Humility would just say, okay. Pride, no. Nope. Because you make it about you when you tell God no. And people were like, why would you be harsh with Mary? I'm just saying, she freaked out. She didn't know what was going on. But she's like, oh, there's got to be something to this greeting. There's got to be a catch somewhere. And the angel says to her, do not be afraid, Mary. Again, naming her. For you have found favor with God. We think favor is something that we earn. You guys, that word favor means grace. Literally, not a Greek speaker, is funny. We were just talking about this. I have a little bit of understanding of Greek. Most of all because people smarter than me do, and they write stuff about it. But the word charis or charito means grace, and that's the word that the angel says. You found grace with God. Grace is given. It's never earned. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Wow. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Woo! Hey, let me tell you why this is a good greeting. He's gracious to her. He's not like, psh, I just said you're important and valuable, and you question me? I'll find another virgin somewhere. Peace. Nope. No. Look, God sees you. He knows you. He's given you his grace. Not only that, I didn't just show up. I'm telling you, you're going to have the Messiah as a child. Look at these five predictions that Gabriel gives, and we'll go through them quickly. He starts out with this. You're going to have a baby, and he will be great. Huh. That's pretty sweet. Most moms want to hear that. All Jewish ladies who hadn't had kids yet or even were pregnant would have loved to get this message. And they would have thought at some point in their lives, I might give birth to the Messiah. But this probably 14 to 17-year-old girl gets told this. He will be great. The second one is he will be the son. He will be called Son of the Most High. Listen to this. I want to read for you this. Often the Most High, translated in the Hebrew, is El Elyon. Mary could not have missed the significance of this prediction. You're going to give birth to the Most High. The fact that her baby was called Son of the Most High pointed out the equality with God. We have bad phrases when you say son of a, and you fill it in. You could say son of a ill-begotten woman, which means you're equal to that. Son of wickedness or destruction in the Bible means like you're bad. You're on equal terms with bad. Son of the Most High would tell her, you're going to give birth to the chosen one. These other three are really impressive as well. He'll be given the throne of his father David. She was from the family of David and the family line of David. She would have understood as a Jewish girl that this is the Messiah. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Yet again, a reminder of the Messiah. You can check out 2 Samuel on these kind of things as well. And Psalm 89, but I'll just keep going. This final one is more than any normal king. His kingdom will never end. You guys, he says to her, don't be afraid. This is good news. And then he predicts who this baby's going to be. And she's just like, oh, wow, okay. Then she asks a question, and we'll pick it up. Verse 34. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I'm a virgin? This is awe, not doubt. She's now been comforted by this announcement, and she's just in. She's like, okay, how's this go? This is what makes her really cool, and where some people think that she might have some divinity. No, she was humble, and she was grateful, and she was recognizing that God is doing what he said he was going to do all along, and now it's going to happen with me. This angel showed up and said it's going to happen. Just last week, we looked at this angel, same angel, showing up with Zechariah saying, hey, I know your wife's like beyond, but she's going to have a baby. And he's like, nah, that's not going to happen. We're way too old. He's like, all right, you're going to shut your mouth for 9 months. I don't want to hear you anymore. But she asks this question, and it's different. Her heart's different. She was humble. I want to say this about humility that I missed earlier. In Colossians, we find out that we clothe ourselves in humility. As much as Kathy would like me to be humble at times, and she would like maybe even lay that outfit out for me, so to speak, I've got to put that on myself. Nobody else can make you humble. Now, God is going to make every knee bow and every tongue confess when he comes back. And that will be the day when it's coming, whether you want it or not. But until then, you can choose by his grace to be humble. She chose to be humble. And check out how the angel just says, all right, it's game time. And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the Most High, remember the Son of the Most High, the power of the Most High, El Elyon, will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. Second time he says, you're going to give birth to the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. She wasn't like, all right, angel, I give you permission. She's humble and stoked. And she's like, okay, let it be. Let's go. I'm ready. And then the angel departed from her. She didn't see him again. You know what was really cool about all this? Everything. God put this on my heart, and I wrote it down so I wouldn't miss it for you guys, because my brain is as slippery as my hair. All right. Elizabeth and Mary's stories show the power, majesty, awesomeness, and grace of God. First, he makes a barren woman a mama. He puts his child in the womb of a virgin. Fulfilling prophecies from Isaiah, Galatians talks about it. This all is amazing. It's humility from the word go. They couldn't do it on their own, and they just trusted that God is faithful. Listen to how R.C. Sproul says this in a book called A Walk with God. God alone can bring something out of nothing. That's how the world was made, by the way. He's the only one who can bring life out of death. Fertility from a barren woman. And he's the only one who can bring a virgin birth. Merry Christmas. Our God is awesome. Pizza, not awesome. Good. Tasty. Wonderful. I'm a little hungry. But it's not awesome. My wife, amazing. Wonderful. But she's not awesome. God is. Nothing's impossible with God. There's things that are impossible with Kathy or me or you or money. But not with God. Dear friends, only God is awesome. Be humble about it. It's so awesome that you're wearing that shirt today. That's not awesome. It's cool. Unless it's the same shirt and then it's dreadful. Can't believe you're wearing the same thing I'm wearing. Although dudes see that and they're like, best friends forever. Women are like, oh gosh, I knew I shouldn't have got that at Costco. Everybody's wearing the same thing from Costco. Look, she has this super rad moment, and she's like, let it be, and then the angel bounces. And then she goes, verse 39, quickly to see Elizabeth. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste. I love that. It's like, look, the angel showed up, said Elizabeth's room. Why do you think she went with haste? Does anybody have a quick thought on that? We have just a few minutes before I have to really start wrapping things up for the first of three times. She's totally excited. Say it again. She wanted to share her good news. She got to figure out how she can tell Joseph. It'll be a lot easier if I leave for a little bit. But then you come back with a baby bump? Oh, BT dubs, it's God's, right? Like, okay, we'll talk about that later. But what else? You think any of it is, I want to see this happening the way the angel said it was happening. God is gracious. You know that he knows that we don't really feel all that comfortable getting close to him? So he came to us. And he continues to come to us. And he knows that you and I aren't it, but he gives us so much grace. That makes it a lot easier to be humble. So she entered the house of Zechariah, and she greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Oh, the announcement was from Elizabeth. You're pregnant. But it isn't a normal pregnancy. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped with joy. Can I tell you again, friends, in a world that says children are optional and babies in the womb aren't babies until they're born, that's not true. The baby's in the womb. God is so gracious and so wonderful that if you've made the decision to end a pregnancy, he loves you and will forgive you. Come to him, repent. Just watched one of my favorite Christmas movies last night with my daughter. It was so just brand new to me. Do you guys remember Santa Claus is Coming to Town? It's the Kris Kringle story. Watch it and watch no less than five times. They quote the Bible and talk about Jesus. But there's this guy, the Winter Warlock. And he's bad news. He's got trees that are on his side, and they're bad, and everybody's freaked out. They go in, and nobody comes out. Ah, freaks out. Well, Chris, Santa Claus, gets caught. And the winter warlock has had it with this Kris Kringle and all his joy. And he's caught by the tree and he's wrestling, and the little penguins, him too. It's just bad news, right? And he's just looking and he's like, "Why, you've disturbed me for the last time," right? And he goes off on him. And he goes, "Okay, hey, will you just let me go for a second? I want to give you something, and then you can do me in." Like, "What? No funny tricks here. No, I just want to give you something. You want to give me something?" "Yes." "Okay. Here's a choo-choo." The winter warlock. "A choo-choo for me? Nobody's ever done that." And he melts, literally becomes just winter. He's no longer the warlock. He's no longer this mean guy. His whole life had been transformed by kindness. And at various times for the rest of the movie, people see him and they're like, and he goes, "Oh, no, I'm changed." And they're like, "Thank you, Winter Warlock." He goes, "Winter, please. Like, call me by my new name. I'm no longer called by my sin. I'm no longer called by who I once was. I've been shown grace and I've been transformed. And this is a stupid little claymation cartoon. And I'm thinking about all the people that have done things that they wish they never would have done. And God says, "You're new. I'm not holding your sin against you. I'm not calling you adulterer. I'm not calling you abortion. I'm not calling you liar. I'm not calling you thief. I'm calling you mine." What is the price tag on you, dear friend? It's so much greater than you could imagine. These people have this wonderful experience happening for them. And I will tell you, without a doubt, Elizabeth and Mary understand the humility of God showing up and making things work. Listen to how this all happens. She says, "I'm blessed because I heard the sound of your greeting and my baby leapt, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Yet again, a reason why I think she went down to check out what was going on with Elizabeth. And then Mary, super stoked. She spits out a song that 19 different times she mentions he, him, the Lord, or God. 6 times she mentions herself. This humility. Listen to the song. "Isabel, by the way, I want you to record something for me that I can listen to every single day. That, your voice is so amazing. Thank you for sharing." And she talked about the song that Mary wrote. Here it is. "My soul magnifies, makes much of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him." Dear friends, that is a fear swap. No longer afraid of the pain and the agony of this world that John said is no longer ours and hasn't been our home. It's not our home. But instead of being afraid of all the things here, you fear the Lord. And what happens when you fear him? He gives you mercy. "From generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate." Second time we hear that. He's filled the hungry with good things. Jesus says later on, when he's born and grows up, "If you hunger and you thirst for righteousness, you'll be filled." That's good things. And the rich he sent away empty-handed. He's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. You guys, I'll finish. It's truly about him. All those times she's mentioning how awesome God is and his influence on her was that he came to somebody humble. He looked at somebody humble. Look, she didn't earn it. He gave her grace. But she received it. She wanted it. She recognized that it wasn't about her, and now God's including her. We haven't prayed together as a group other than somebody praying up front. I'm going to read Psalm 103, 17 through 22. And I'm going to ask that we would take just a few minutes to bless the Lord. If you don't know what bless the Lord is, I'm going to read this passage and maybe you will by that time. And if not, I can explain a little bit about it. But here we go, Psalm 103, 17 through 22. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. And his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord, Yahweh, has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. It's another word about angels. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all the places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He started with that in the beginning of Psalm 103, and he ends with it. He's like, look, all the angels, bless the Lord. All, everywhere his dominion is, bless the Lord. And then he's like, hey, individual, me, bless the Lord. This is make a big deal out of God. Bless you, Lord. You're awesome. Because, let's go just for a few minutes, out loud where you're at. I bless you, Lord, for. I bless you, Lord, because. Whatever it is, and if somebody's talking, you can do it at the same time or just wait. But the reality is God can hear you. He's got way better than call waiting. He's got it figured out. If we talk at the same time, it's okay. It works in Korea. It can work with us. Go ahead. Amen.
Bless you, Lord, for our house.
Yes, Lord.
Bless you, Lord, for setting me free from
what I came from. Yes, God. Thank you for setting us free. Bless you, Lord.
Bless you, Lord, for healing.
Bless you, Lord, for healing. Bless you, Lord, because you are faithful. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord, for your word indeed.
Bless you, Lord, for giving us hope.
Yes, Lord. Bless you, Lord, for family. Thank you. Jesus, bless you for being so faithful. Thank you so much. We bless your name, Savior of the world, for saving us by giving yourself. God, if we were never blessed with anything else from this day on, we couldn't help but praise your name for eternity because you are so awesome. Bless you, Lord, for never leaving us nor forsaking us. Bless you, Lord, for the opportunity for gratitude. Bless you, Lord, for your grace. Bless you, Lord, that when you make a promise, you keep it. Bless you, Lord, that Mary understood this and didn't just sing about it, but lived it out, even when her heart would be pierced. God, you're so good. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.